Hi, and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning, or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
Well, last week I told a story about my oldest, Eden, who's now 11. So I figured it's a turn for our younger daughter. Otherwise, if there's not equity in my storytelling, I have to answer to it at home, and so that doesn't feel right. So a few summers ago now, when Eden was off to Girl Scout camp for the very first time, Bethany right there, and I were going on our own adventures. And so, because if Eden was having adventure, again, equity, right? Dad and Bethy have to go on adventures. And so we were making our way towards a park that we hadn't gone to too often. And as we're driving by, Bethany out of the, her window, she sees this little path that we had never walked down before. And she goes, "Whoa, what's down there?" And so I said, I don't know, but today we don't have time to go do it, but I promise we will go and walk down that path. And a little bit of backstory about Bethany is that her legs get tired, not really when they're really tired, just when she doesn't feel like walking anymore, right? And so she's just like, "I can't go anywhere." And then what she'll do is she'll flop more like the dog in the picture. She'll just be like, "I'm done. Carry me," right? And so I'm thinking, all right, so I got to mentally get my head around the fact that this kid going down a path that we might not know might just kind of jelly leg it. And so that's why we didn't go that day. But so then there was like 2 days that passed in between our park day and the day that we were going to explore the path. And all the time she starts building up, "Dad, what do you think is down the path? Do you think?" And she just started going, and her mind is wandering. "Do you think that there's this? Do you think we'll see this? Do you think that there's this?" And so finally the day comes, right? And she's really excited, and she sees the path again from the car, and she's like, "There it is. We're ready to do it today." I looked at her square in the eyes, and I said, "All right, but the one rule is that I am not carrying you, okay? Because we had the dog with us. We had, and I am not okay, Dad." Okay. And so we start going down, and we start to explore, and we see this creek that we got to play in, and that was fantastic. And I said, "Okay, are you ready to go?" He's like, "Well, not right yet. We're not going to go back right yet. Maybe just over the next rock or over the next tree that's down or over the," and so we did that at every stop. We go, "What?" And she goes, no. Over the next. I just want to see what's finally there. So we go and we explored, and she did great, and she didn't ask me to carry her once, even on the way back. Like, it was amazing. And then she and the dog napped really hard afterwards. Like, it was perfect, right? Yeah, Jill, "Yes, naps afterwards." And she was probably up all night then after that, but like, whatever. I'm going to take the wins that I can get, right? And so her sister came back from Girl Scout camp, and she's like, "Eden, guess what?" Because Eden had heard all of these stories and projections of what it was there. And she goes, "And it was even bigger and better than I could have ever imagined." And that was, of course, then the thing that set the older one off to go, "Well, now I have to go," right? But there was this wonder and this excitement in Bethany who, man, she could go all day is the reality. It's just that when she's done, she's just done, right? But she wasn't that day. And so as we kind of reflect on that story, as I've reflected on that story, as we wrap up then this series that we've been in called Recalibrate, we've been in it for the past 2 weeks or so. We've been reflecting on John Wesley's general rules. So there's these three general rules that are here, and they're pretty good, pretty basic, pretty easy to understand. But to get them right and to do them well, is kind of tricky. And so the first general rule was do no harm, which kind of laid that foundation to say, in all that we do, we're going to do no harm, because that lays the foundation, whether it be through creation care and leaving it better or as good as we found it, to being with people and laying that foundation of trust, It's the thing that kind of puts those footers in the ground. And then the second rule was to do good. So if you're going to do no harm, then you build upon that and do good. And that might mean that we have conversations with people, we dispel some of that misunderstanding, and we do everything else in a way that kind of works in harmony. Those two kind of work in harmony with one another. And then the third one, though, the third one's pretty critical. And I've kind of equated it, because I was relacing some shoes the other day, is that if your lacing process is do no harm and do good, as you weave it together, if you don't tie those shoes, though, the laces don't really do any good, right? So that third rule that we're going to talk about today is what Wesley said. He said, tend to the ordinances of God, which sounds so churchy and stuffy, okay? So my translation is just, fall in love with God. Fall in love with God in these ways that allow us to explore a little bit more. And so for Wesley, it was, you know, tend to worship and prayer and searching the scriptures and getting into God's story so that you are enfolded into that more and more. And there's even Wesley said that there was importance of fasting and making sure that we are simplifying our lives so that we can be in that together, so that the spiritual disciplines help us in that healing and redemptive process of what God is doing in our own lives, so that we can then be transformed more into the image of the one who we are seeking to follow. So for me, this is more than just, I want to be a good person, right? Because I think those first two rules kind of solidify that. But if we aren't wrapping those shoelaces around something that is going to be a core of who we are, we're kind of running that race, or we're going through life with laces that are untied, with things that are going, well, this makes me feel good, but what am I surrounded by? What is that thing that is defining what good is, how I'm doing no harm? And if it feels good to me, is that good enough? I don't think so. But these disciplines really wrap us around the one who is good, who is defined as good and who is love, and says that this life that you are living of doing no harm and doing good and falling more and more in love with me is a life defined by joy. Author Richard Foster says this: joy is the keynote of all of these disciplines, of all of these practices, of staying in love with God. And the purpose is liberation from the stifling slavery to self-interest and fear. Essentially, what it means is that falling in love with God is giving us a new and deeper understanding of who we are and whose we are, in a way that we are going to encounter in just a little bit through baptism. That Quinn and Anne, as they come to be baptized, now, do they have a really full understanding of who God is, how God's working in their lives, and a systematic theology that could have a master's level degree? Probably not yet, right? If we're going to be honest. But what it does do, and what it enfolds us into, is this story that says God has claimed us. Before we even knew or know that God is working in our lives, God has claimed us, and that we have been marked by love and grace and joy. And so because of that, we live in a response. We fall more and more with this God who is love, who claims us before we even know God is working in our lives, that we have been marked, that we have been washed, that we have, our scripture says that we've been, that we die to ourselves so that we can be risen with Christ again. So that we can have this life and life abundant because of God's grace and invitation to continue to explore through baptism. That in doing this and encountering the waters that wash us, that make us new, that allow this new birth, that it's this invitation to something more. And so as we start thinking about, well, what does this mean to us? What does this new life start to take on? You know, that scripture that Ben read for us, it says, you know, be rooted in Christ. Isn't that good imagery, right? And so if all of these disciplines, if prayer and worship and scripture reading and all of these things are a response to this water that waters our soul, and we let that permeate us through all of those disciplines, our roots are going to be deep and wide. They're going to be a way that, you know, not many other people will see all of that stuff that goes into it. But what happens is that those roots will be wrapped around the one who is love, that we will be firmly planted in the one who is love. And so you know, as we start to think, as we start to explore, and as we transition into a time of celebrating baptism, I want to tell you that mentality that Bethy had a few years ago, a few summers ago, that said, I just want to go to the next rock. I want to go over the next tree. We were this summer then in Alaska, and we had this hike, and all of a sudden she went into like hike mode, all right? And it was like, no, Dad, we're not going to go back. And like, we had a bus that we had to catch, so I did the thing again. Look, it's not only that I'm not going to carry you, but now we got to go a little bit faster. Well, yeah, but if we just go over the next rise. And what happened was that we would go and there'd be fewer and fewer and fewer people, but we went over this one rise and we saw this. How cool is that, right? And what it does is that excitement and that energy and that being willingness to go to the next step, to take that next step. You know, sometimes we think of God as being this vastness that, man, we are only scratching the surface. But the reality is that in our spiritual lives, that's still just the surface. And as we get deeper and deeper, we'll realize that we're only going to be beginners, but at the same time, being a beginner that's a little bit further along is going to be a beautiful trip. And so as we...